Well, we're happy to see everyone here today. And other assemblies represented, please make the meetings known. You probably know about them already, but we're delighted to see you. There will be 5 sessions, and the subject is deep and it's large, so I'm going to give you the overview on each of these occasions. Daniel, the prophet. So we're going to start off with him first of all, and then we're going to talk about his prophetic ministry. Now this chart is behind me, so if I stand here, you can't see it. So I'm going to just stand aside here in a minute or two and show you what it's all about. Now let me just tell you one or two things before we start. None of us know as we ought to know, and I'm first in that. And the more you study these things, you find out how little you know. Now, if you don't agree with what's been said, well, we'll agree to differ. And if you don't understand what we're talking about, talk to me every night at the end of the meeting. Now, we're going to do the building block concept. So we're going to start the base today, and we'll build on that as the Lord helps us each session. Now, when we get into the prophetic line, brethren differ. Well, I haven't fought any yet that I know of. So, it's nice to see somebody else's point of view, but really, Daniel has a line of things that nobody else in the Bible has. So, if you have your Bible with you now, please, the book of Daniel, chapter 1. And before we commence to read, I'm just going to go through some of these basic things with you this evening. Now, I try to put myself sitting where you are, and you've never seen this chart before, and you've never read the book of Daniel, or if you have, you don't understand it. Well, we're going to try and help you on that point. All right. If you can't hear me, let me know. My voice is pretty baritone, and my wife always says, don't shout. That's it. Now, we'll start up here. The outline of the book of Daniel the prophet and the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24:15 calls him a prophet. He's the major prophet of maybe 4 major prophets in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. So we have Isaiah, and we have Jeremiah, and we have Ezekiel, and we have Daniel. And when we get to this point here, he in chapter 9 of the book of Daniel, he is the key to all prophecy. And if you don't understand where I'm pointing to now, you'll never understand prophecy. So we'll be looking at that, and we'll have a night dedicated to that in the will of the Lord. All right? 12 chapters in Daniel. So, from chapter 1, from where I'm pointing to now, to chapter 6, that's the historical part. Next thing, from chapter 7, where I'm pointing to now, right through to the end here, that's pre-written history, that there's a prophetic view to all of that. Future for Daniel, and much of a future for us. Next point. Whenever we look at this chart here, right across the top section, in general terms, that's historic. When we come down here to where I'm pointing now, all the way through, that's prophetic. Key, look at these ends here. In the time of the end. In the time of the end. In the time of the end. And so on, all the way across. Right? So whenever we're looking at this chart, this is historic, and this is prophetic. Now we're given the overview, so as we know where we are in the big picture. So somebody says, what's this here all about? Where I'm pointing to now. Now the best way I can explain it to you is this. It has often been suggested that Daniel stood here, where I'm pointing to now. And he was on a mountain peak. And he's looking forward. And he saw another mountain peak on this particular part here. But he couldn't see what was going on in the valley between. And so, the chart is divided that way. Historic and prophetic. And in between, Daniel, with all his knowledge, knew nothing about the age of grace or from the cross or Pentecost to the rapture. And that's why it says that here it's a dateless parenthesis in God's great plan. And people ask, parenthesis, what is happening? Well, I know you're more intelligent than I am. There's a pause. And there's a digression from the theme when it's linked. So where we are in the big picture today, as we look at our generation, we're right here. And we're nearer the rapture of the church, the coming again of Christ, than ever before. Now God has a plan for the nation of Israel. And it starts with the times of the Gentiles as far as this chart is concerned. And that's 2 Chronicles 36. When Nebuchadnezzar came and took away the Jews from Palestine, from Israel, Judah and Benjamin, administration of the globe was taken from the nation of Israel. See? And today, right through the centuries, the superpowers of the world are in charge. But that's God's prophetic program. He's allowed that. But then Israel is not set aside forever. They're going to come in here, and at the end of the great tribulation, and the millennium reign of Christ, the times of the Gentiles will finish at the end of the tribulation. And the nation of Israel will be there as the head of the nations again. Now, if you want to know where that is in Scripture, I'll be happy to show you if you have a minute. That's the next point. Now, let me talk a little more. Somebody right away says, what's the difference between Daniel and the book of Revelation? Now, very, very quickly, high level, big picture, Daniel speaks about the times of the Gentiles, and this great image here are the four great empires that have come and gone. And this here is the prophetic side that we'll talk about later. So Daniel writes from the perspective of the times of the Gentiles, administration in the world, and the nation of Israel, and their future. John is in the book of Revelation. And here's a link. They're both in their 90s. Look at that. Both in their 90s. And John is interested in the future of the church, the mystical body of Christ, every believer in this age, from Pentecost to the rapture, saved by the grace of God, whatever the circumstances. And he wants to know what's the future and what the local expression of that is in the assembly. And that's Revelation 2 and 3, the golden lampstands and all the rest of it. Now they dovetail, as we'll see. But they're different perspectives. And let me just say publicly that Israel and the church are separate entities. We have brethren today teaching us that they're the same thing. They're not. There's something unique about the church that Israel knows nothing about. They are the earthly seed. We are the heavenly seed. Now, that's enough for that. And let me get back to the chart here.
The map, the chart, is on the order of Scripture. You know, chapter 1 all the way through chapter 12. Now, chronological, and people say, what does that mean? Order of events as they took place in history are as follows. And if you don't believe me, I'll be happy to show you from the Bible. I'm not talking up here off the top of my head. I have looked at it carefully. And if you don't agree with it, I'll be happy to listen to you. Okay? Said that more than once. Right. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. They are sequential. They follow each other. But you see, whenever you come here to chapter 4, in the order of events, we move to chapter 7 and chapter 8. We move back to chapter 5. Then we move forward to chapter 9 and back to chapter 6 and then 10, 11, and 12. Now, people say to me, man, I've never seen that before. Well, you read the Bible carefully and you'll come to the same conclusion. Next thing I want to talk about. Great picture. You see this part of the chart here? Right to the end of chapter 7. Chapter 2 through chapter 7. Written in the Chaldean language. Aramaic. Did we all hear Hebrew and Greek in the Bible? There's three languages. Anybody that studies it will see it. Try to write this wrong. Now what's the point? The point is this. God is telling these heathen monarchs He has a plan. And they are going to have to learn in their own language what it's all about. God is so kind. They could never turn around and say, we didn't know. We didn't know the language. Now, Daniel's a very intelligent man, and he knew the Aramaic language, the Chaldean language. He was a brilliant man, as we'll see. You see here, from chapter 8 onward, that's in the Hebrew language. What's that all about? God wants to talk to the nation of Israel, and it's in their own language. I like that. God was never left himself without a witness. And nobody can excuse and say they didn't know. It's right there for them. They don't want to read it. Now, I could spend the rest of the time on the chart, but I'm not going to tell you all the basic and overview things. I've set it up to start. So we're going to read a verse or two in chapter 1 of Daniel, and then a verse or two at the end of chapter 6 of Daniel, and then a few simple ideas, and that will start us. So what I'm going to do is talk about the prophet, and then I'm going to talk about the prophetic program of God. So, if you have your Bible now, Daniel, please, chapter 1, and I won't read all the verses, but I'll read some of it. Notice verse 1, please. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. We should read the next verse. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, Babylon, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. I should read part of the next verse. You see verse number 3? That he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed. So that means he's royalty. And of the princes, children in whom are no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace
whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now you see, the Chaldeans wanted the top people. Now you all know the story, so I'll read verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Notice the next verse. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. End of the chapter. Notice verse 21. And Daniel continued. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Chapter 6 now, please, as we move on. Chapter 6. Notice in verse number 1 of Daniel 6, we're now in the reign of Darius the Mede. Notice verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and princes because of an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now the end of the story. Even the children know about this. He's going to the den of lions. Notice verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. The king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thy servant who serveth continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, notice that, and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, and so on. Now you know the rest of the story. That will do for reading as the time is flying. Now I'll leave all the other incidentals out and get down to business. I have read you the start of the historical part of Daniel and the end. And so that you can take some of the information away with you, I want to just have 6 basic, simple things about Daniel the prophet. I want to think of Daniel, the priestly man. We have read about that in chapter 1. And then I want to talk about Daniel, the praying man. I didn't read the verses. Everybody knows about that. Then Daniel, the preferred man. Then Daniel, the persecuted man. Then Daniel, the prophetic man. And then Daniel, the preserved man. His book covers 73 years approximately of life in this world. And he was approximately 17 when he left the land of Israel and came to the land of Babylon. So at the end of his life, he's in his early 90s, just the same way as John the son of Zebedee was at the end of his life. Now, lest you've forgotten that already, I want to go over it again. I want to build the base in your mind this afternoon so that you can understand what we're talking about. Daniel, the priestly man, and I want to think of his way of living, his way of life. Then I want to think about Daniel, the praying man, and how he waited on his God. Very practical teaching from there. Then I want to talk about Daniel, the preferred man, and his worth to other realms, kingdoms, kings, and the nation of Israel. I tell you, he was an outstanding servant. Now that brought him into another realm. Daniel, the persecuted man, and the wicked enemies that tried to bring his demise. And he got into the den of lions, and they thought that was a finish. God had other plans. Then we'll just go quickly over Daniel, the prophetic man, and the words that he gave, as we'll see. And then to finish on Daniel, the preserved man. You ever ask yourself, why was he preserved through four kingdoms? It's amazing. His wisdom, his knowledge, his honoring God, his waiting before him, and all the rest of it. What a man. Remember what we've said already? I hope you can sing it. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose, dare to make it known. Right. Daniel, the princely man. Very quickly, here's the background. You better know your Bible. Whenever you're in Isaiah chapter 39, there's a man called Hezekiah. And in the 15 years of his extended life, he showed the princes of Babylon, the house of God, and all the grandeur and the vessels and all the rest of it. And what God said through Isaiah? You made a mistake, Hezekiah. You shouldn't have done that. You know what's going to happen? Your seed will move in a foreign land, and you will be taken away captives. And it happened in Daniel's day. So, his place in Scripture, Daniel, the princely man, he's of the royal seed. He has royal blood. As the Chronicles passage, Isaiah chapter 39 and Daniel 1 shows. He had a great part to play in the nation of Israel and the times of the Gentiles. And God had his eye upon him. And he had a great future for him. And he arrived in a foreign country. He didn't know anybody. He didn't know the language. He didn't know the culture. He didn't know the country. He didn't know a person. There he is. You see, he could have turned to just the pleasure-loving Babylon. But the fear of God was in his heart. What a person. Let me just mention some of the things the Bible says about him. He was well favored. He was skillful in wisdom and all knowledge. He had understanding of science. That man was around 17 years of age and he was brilliant. God had him as a chosen vessel, and he was going to do an outstanding work. And on his part, he was a princely man. I want to suggest to you that he lived a disciplined life. He had purpose of heart. He didn't want to be involved in the Babylon that he was living in. Listen to it. He refused Babylon's friends, Babylon's fund, Babylon's funds, and Babylon's folly. You go over those F's, and I'll tell you, that describes Babylon. You know what Babylon speaks about in the Scripture? The ecclesiastical world. Another name for it in 2010, the Christendom, where you and I are found. We're not here to criticize anybody. when we're here to show you the big picture and where we're found today in assembly life, and we're in Christendom. Now, we're not part of it. We're outside the camp of Christendom, Hebrews chapter 13. And we are where the Lord wants us to be. We thank God for the position that He has brought to us. You see, I want to tell you today that our young people, we're delighted to see you here, married couples with families and unmarried people. Do you see that world out there? They want to change our values. They want to change our name. They want to change our identity. They want to change everything associated with us, menus, friends, and all the rest of it. Now, we have to live in it. We're in it, but we're not off it. Young people tell me all the time, Stan, if you just knew what we were up against, you would go along with what we're doing. I always refer them to Daniel. And they say, he's just one. How about Joseph? How about Nehemiah? How about all the worthies of the Old and New Testament? Let's prove God in our own experience, as this princely man did. And I have to leave that. Somebody says, well, now, why was he so successful? Well, one thing I'm going to suggest, there's others, but one is this. He was a man that could pray. He was a man that kept at the prayer. His persistence in prayer. Not what we sing with the children. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed 3 times, even when them had him cast in the den of lions. There are 12 direct references to praying in the 12 chapters. We have just suggested the overview of the whole thing. You've got to come to this conclusion. He was a praying man. Here's a simple thought. People say all the time, hey, we are living such a busy life and we're so tired when we get home at night. We have no time to pray, man. We have to get into bed and we're so tired we can't get up in the morning and all the rest of it. I want to say to you that this man was the top of the presidents in the realms and the kingdoms, wherever he was. Busy man, fantastic, but he took time to pray. And so I was telling them at a conference in another location recently. People say, well, did you pray today? Man, I'm so busy, there's no time to pray. And people are saying, well, what are you standing up there doing? And somebody else says, do you read the Word? There's no time to read the Word. And I was trying to make a point, and I want to make it here today. You'll never get time to pray, and you'll never get time to read the Word. You'll have to take it. And that's exactly what Daniel did. It's a very simple wee thought, but it's lying right there. Chapter 2, as we'll see, a united prayer meeting. It's a day of crisis. He's going to lose his life. I'm telling you, he prayed. Chapter 6, when those evil, wicked men, his peers were against him, and the one that put him in the den of lions, and he knew what was happening, and the decree was given, and all the rest of it, what did he do? He opened his drapes, and he prayed as at other times, 3 times a day, toward the place of the name, Jerusalem. Now, he just didn't pray in a crisis. He prayed all the time. That was his mode of life. I'll give you an example. The brother that was preaching with Brother Harold Paisley 53 years ago when I was saved was a man called Mr. Tom Campbell, princely man. Harold was 33, and he was 83. Harold today is 86. So that shows you how long ago it is. In the first week that I was saved, this beloved brother, he invited me to his home. Sat down there and chatted. He says, Stan, we'll have a word of prayer. Those early days were very impressive. Whenever that man was finished, you would have felt that the Lord Jesus was sitting right beside us on the settee. A little talk with Jesus, how it smooths the rugged road, how it seems to help me onward when I faint beneath my load. Dear brethren, when all else fails, read the instructions, get to God about it. People say to me, we're very intelligent, you know, in this generation. Really? We have electronics. We can put people on the moon. We have got satellites that can do anything, on and on and on and on and on. And we're more intelligent than anybody that ever came before us. Now, I want to say this, that an older generation had a godliness about them. And I want to tell you, they weren't dumb. They were very intelligent that we seem to have missing. God help us to be men and women of prayer. One thing about Daniel, he had power in his prayer. See, Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't even know what he dreamt, or so he said. And he's saying, wise men, magicians, astrologers, you tell me what I dreamt and then tell me the meaning of it. They say, don't be ridiculous. How could we tell you what we don't know? You see, that's where Daniel came in. He learned the dream, and he knew its interpretation, and he gave it. God help us now. The time's flying here. Let me get to the next one. You see, Daniel was a preferred man. The ungodly watched him, and they looked at him every day, and they came to the conclusion, this is the man that has God with him. And just to take an example of the chapter that we read, in chapter 6 of Daniel, into the second kingdom, Darius the Mede, he could see that Daniel had something that the others didn't have. And there were three presidents in the realms of his mighty kingdom, stretched for thousands of miles. And Daniel was the chief. What a choice. Now, God was behind him. Just stop a minute for another line of ministry for a minute. Whatever you compare him with the Lord Jesus. Now, remember, Daniel wasn't sinless, but he was blameless. There's not a fault raised in the Bible against him. The word we use is irreproachable. That's what a shepherd should be. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I remember what John the Baptist said in John's Gospel, chapter 1. See this one here, the Lord Jesus. He is preferred before me, and he cometh before me. He said himself, before Abraham was, I am. John's Gospel. No wonder the heavens are open to declare this is the preferred one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Three times at least, this is my beloved Son, in whom are all my delights. We sang here this morning, and how true. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair that fill the heavenly train. Daniel is a faint picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. I want to talk now about another realm that's very important, that we need to learn the principle. Now, you got the message here? You see, Daniel, he's a princely man. Daniel, he's a praying man. Daniel is a preferred man. But I want to tell you today that brought him to another realm. Daniel is a persecuted man. His peers watched him. Do we pick up on this? I want to tell the brethren here, as I tell my own heart, we've been watched. And nobody says anything. They watch you at work. They watch you at home. They watch you in the assembly. They watch you in the district. And on it goes. Now they're watching this man, and they can see that there was no flaws in him, but we'll get him. And we'll get him in his own religion, as they called it, and pray unto the God of heaven. And then they made the decree, and Darius, he signed it. He didn't even know what was happening. They weren't allowed to pray to anybody, only to Darius and the strange gods, and they thought they had Daniel. Those are wicked men. And you know the story. And they said, right, this is the finish of Daniel. He's going to the den of lions. Must have been, many a time I wonder how Daniel felt. And by the way, he was around 90 years of age. Three other men in the Bible are linked with lions directly. They were all younger men. Imagine a person 90 years of age in a den of lions. I read you the verse. God sent his angel, closed their mouths. They couldn't touch him. But the wicked man thought, that's him finished. Now let's just learn a simple principle here. Younger man, listen to me. It shouldn't be like this, but it is. Let's take the secular world. So a younger person, male or female, comes into any given situation, whatever the product they have to offer to others, whatever the business may be, and they say, well, hey, here's somebody who's got tremendous potential. You know what? We are going to encourage them. We are going to make sure that they get a fair shake and all the rest. See? So the person develops and matures, and before they know where they are, the pupil passes the teacher and are more skillful and helpful and have a better understanding than the ones that taught them. What happens? Then they turn the opposite way and they say, right, we can't have that individual here. So we'll make them the sacrificial lamb for any small excuse, and out they go. Now, sadly, brethren, what's out there today comes in here tomorrow. Now, I hope I can handle this delicately. It's a very delicate thing. There's a balance here. I was at a conference last weekend, and I heard mature brethren telling this young man he had ability above others, and that God has a future for him, and they would like to see him in full-time service and all the rest of it. Now, I have lived long enough, 53 years on the road, and I have found this out, that the brethren that laud you today will trump you tomorrow. I know it shouldn't be. I understand that. But it's happening. Now, every one of us need to be encouraged. And it's a tremendous day when the Master stands back and says, yeah, that beloved brother is younger than I am, and he has passed me in spiritual experience. I'll give you an example. There's a day in Deuteronomy chapter 32 where a man 120 years of age stands in front of a nation of 12 tribes, and beside him is a younger man, Joshua, 40 years younger. And God told him, tell the nation and tell everybody in front of Joshua, he's the one raised to take the nation across the Jordan. And that was the burning ambition of Moses' life. And he had to bow to divine will. And the pupil passed the master. And Moses had the right spirit. What's your spirit? That's one of the big things about Daniel. He had an excellent spirit. Now, we need to encourage one another, and we need to encourage younger men and younger couples and all the rest of it. But remember, everybody's not fitted for leadership. Because once we get into leadership, any weakness that a person has is exposed. Daniel had weaknesses, but they're not recorded. He was human. And so we need to help one another. I used to tell my own sons, they're both in their 40s, middle 40s, and I'm saying, boys, if you pass me in spiritual things or secular things, I'll sit at your feet. How about it, fathers? Would you do it? Now, I understand they have to be fitted for it. A word to the wise is sufficient. We don't want to persecute one another. We want to help one another. I've got to leave that. See this man, Daniel? A prophetic man. He knew more about the prophetic program of God for the nation than anybody else in the Bible. And all others build on it. Now, I won't go into the details until the night they arrive at it. Here's it here, look. Prophecy of 70 weeks and all the different things about it. See this man. God gave him an insight into the future for the nation of Israel that nobody else ever had. And somebody asked today, how do you know that the Bible is true? It's inspired by God. You know why? One word will tell us, the nation of Israel. Israel. And everything that God has said about the nation of Israel to this point has taken place. And everything that He has said about them in the future will take place as well. I'll just spend a minute to prove what I'm talking about. See, the nation of Israel, their history is compared to three trees. In the past, Isaiah 5, they were a vine. They were to bring forth fruit, but they failed. Presently, they're the fig tree. No leaves, no fruit. The blame is on them. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the veil is on their heart. Nationally speaking. But I want to tell you something, brethren. There's another tree. It's the olive tree. Romans chapter 11. Blindness is in part happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Where did they all get that, the writers? Old and New Testament. They got it from Daniel. He's a prophetic man. He lived near to the Lord, and the Lord gave him understanding and skill above all others. Recently, I have met a number of people. I have no doubt they're born again. They have devotion to the person of Christ that would put me to shame. But they're wrong in teaching. And they don't gather to the Lord's name. And they have never found out that God has a future for the nation of Israel. I quoted these dear people one verse. Romans 11, it's about verse 25. Blindness is in part happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, if these people were right, it would say, as far as the nation is concerned, blindness has happened to the Israelites, happened to Israel totally. But it hasn't. See, all these people believe, there's thousands of them, that because the nation of Israel crucified the Lord, that's them finished. They fulfill Scripture, but they will go through the great tribulation and at the other end of a tremendous future. And that's what Isaiah 53 and all the other Scriptures are about. Fantastic. See this man, Daniel? It all started with him, as we'll see. Thank God. Now, I won't go into the different things about it because the time is almost gone. Now, just put together what I have said to you to this point. And we want to think about Daniel, the preserved man. He had wisdom, he had skill, he had understanding in the deep things of God that others didn't have. He had a secret. He was preserved through all the ups and downs of life, as we'll see. Nobody else was preserved in the den of lions. And his peers, none of them were ever preserved in the heat of the furnace and all that, Daniel chapter 3. So it's a good question to ask ourselves, why, with all the opposition and all the difficulties that the men went through, why was he preserved? I would like to write one verse over him. Them that honor me, I will honor. Many of us stop there. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Example in the chapter we read in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel honored God. He had the fear of God in his heart. He did what was right. And God preserved him in crises. What happened to his peers doing the same job in the same kingdom? Their life was terminated. The lions gobbled them up with their families and wives and the rib eternity. Make the simple application. Am I prepared to honor the Lord in my life at every department of it? Well, take the promise personally on board today. God says, I'll honor you if you honor me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Take another example out of Scripture before we leave it. Here's Abraham. He honored God in everything. He was human. See his associate, his fellow, his nephew, Lot. Everything that he wanted to hold, he lost. Burned out of Sodom. He despised the God of heaven. He's in heaven tonight. A soul saved, a life lost. Peter tells us he was a righteous man, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. You know the story. So I asked myself, as I asked you just before we rise and go away, fellow believer, whatever age group you're in right now, what world are you living for? Daniel rose right to the top, and he stayed there. Because he honored God, and his peers went the opposite way, and he continued. Winds of change across our nation and this North American continent are blowing stronger than ever. And we have dear men that would sell us out. Dear brethren, will you listen to the Bible? Paul said to Timothy, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. And has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Dear brethren, I want to tell you today, in some little experience behind me, it pays to put into practice the principles of the Holy Bible. Married life, assembly life, business life, or whatever life you want. Was Daniel successful? Absolutely. I'm back to my wee verse right now. I like it. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose. Dare to make it known. So we make the application as we stop. How are we getting on in 2010? Have you any purpose in life? Let me ask you, brother, sister. I ask myself the same question. We're now into the last quarter of 2010. Do you see your mode of living right now and mine? If the Lord doesn't come, where do you see yourself 5 years down the road? I said that to a brother recently, and he was honest. Do you know what he said? If I continue the way I'm going, I'll be outside the assembly and set aside. He has made changes in his life. I've come to appeal to you today. God help us to see from Daniel what God desires. I want to tell you something. You need to live a disciplined life. You need to have spiritual priorities if you're going to make it. If you're going to stay the course. The Lord says, me first, others second, and self last. The world doesn't believe that out there. And so I've come to appeal to you, whatever little time we have left, oh dear brethren, let us put our priorities right. Yeah, we have family responsibilities, I understand it. And we have responsibilities in the secular world and all the rest of it. I understand all of that. But the Lord is saying in 2010 to me and to you, what world are you living for? I have 1 minute to tell you this. Our correspondent in the assembly, he's the man that wrote the letter that I hold in my possession when I went to the Lord's work. He was a very successful brother. Likely, you would never know, likely a multi-millionaire. He's lying dying just a few weeks ago. I took his funeral. And my wife and I went to his bedside and we read and prayed with him. And he said, Stan, I want to tell you something. God has been very kind to me. I've had more of this goods, world's goods than most. But he says, I'm dying. And I likely won't see you again. I'll meet you in heaven. He says, the only thing that counts is that I am washed in the blood of Christ. And whenever you stand at my funeral and preach to the gathered audience, tell them, I've gone to heaven because the Lord Jesus Christ died in my place for me and my sins are forgiven. I tell you, that went in with me. I was happy to tell it at the funeral. Dear brethren, the Lord stirred our hearts. Best thing I can say is, only one life, for sin but past, and only what's done for Christ will last. 3 o'clock, shall we pray? Our Father, we just commend our ways to Thee as we part. What a man was this man Daniel, only one Daniel. God is my judge. We thank Thee for the record on Holy Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ even recognized him, Daniel the prophet. We thank Thee that his peers recognized him. We remember that Jeremiah is linked with him, and Ezekiel is linked with him. And we thank Thee today for the record. Help us all to listen and learn as we move forward. Commend the audience to Thee. Thank Thee for our younger friends, raising families round their feet, and other younger ones not married, and older ones too, and all of us. Father, what can we say? Preserve and keep us until the Lord returns. So we thank Thee for the privilege of being together and anticipate the gospel tonight, that sinners will be in and souls will be saved. For the glory of Christ, we commit our ways to Thee as we part and give thanks in His worthy name. Amen.